I mean, you take away one of the better, fearsome left-handed sluggers in the entire sport. And, yeah, Kyle Harrison's a 23-year-old left-hander. He's on team control for a few more years, so gives the Red Sox another arm. Jordan Hicks, once he's healthy, is a cute little project. So they definitely added starting pitching depth. And the prospects, James Tibbs and Jose Bayo, we'll see. But there's no doubt that taking that bat from this lineup is a death sentence for the Boston Red Sox in terms of competing this season. I don't care how good Christian Campbell turns out to be, or Marcelo Meyer turns out to be, or Roman Anthony turns out to be. So I totally get, from a Yankee fan perspective, looking at this trade, saying, all right, don't have to worry about the Red Sox anymore.
Right. Well, the surprising development with this is that it just felt like the Red Sox just had enough of them.
I think they did.
This was him being we know he was, a bad teammate with all of the turmoil with moving from third to playing first and not doing anything and basically just DHing. He just felt as a malcontent the entire time.
The moment he refused to go to first base when Tristan Casas got hurt, and we talked about this briefly on the air that day, we all kind of agreed, hey, at some point they're going to trade him. What I was surprised by is that it came out of nowhere and it only happened 2 months later. That surprises me. But I think at the time we all figured, all right, this isn't going to end well. And so the Red Sox ripped the Band-Aid off and they trade him to San Francisco. But here's why the short-term celebration for Yankee fans is valid, but the long-term celebration should be put on pause. Mm. The goal of this trade by the Boston Red Sox was to rid themselves of that contract. He has 8 more years after this. He's due well over $200 million. It's not the highest AAV in the world. It's only about $28 million. But nevertheless, you're locked into what has basically become a full-time DH for the next 8 years. And the Red Sox have now removed themselves of that contract. They picked up 0 cents.
Mm-hmm.
They did not pick up a dime in sending him to San Francisco. This is the same franchise, and I have under good authority, made legitimately big offers to Juan Soto. They tried to sign him. So you know what that means. Kyle Tucker, you are a Boston Red Sox. That is the apple of your eye, Sean. And I would tell you today, your chances of acquiring the services of one Kyle Tucker are worse today than they were yesterday.
I didn't really want him anyways.
Yeah. Back-to-back shows of Evan being definitely wrong about baseball stuff. Look, the Red Sox, the whole reason that we were even talking about Jared Duran deals is all their big prospects are outfielders. What does Kyle Tucker play, Evan? Answer along for me.
He's a right fielder.
Okay, they're not making a big money.
Why'd they go after
outfield?
Juan Soto?
Well, that would have been a little different. He's Juan
because
Soto.
He's Juan Soto.
Okay.
He's 26, and he's one of the best players in baseball.
Well, so Kyle Tucker, while not Juan Soto, is young and a really damn good player.
Okay, they were going after a DH, which inevitably was what Devers was going to be because they were moving Bregman to third. They signed Bregman. They would not have signed Bregman if they signed Soto. So we throw that all in there.
Okay.
Okay.
They're not going to go after an elite-level bat and free agency?
I think they're going to go after, but I think what this frees up is the Red Sox are going to attack pitching. They just traded for Crochet.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a name, Yankee fans. They're going to sign Michael King, whose dream has been to be a Boston Red Sox. They might sign Devin Williams as well, and they're going to bolster that bullpen, and they're going to bolster that rotation, and they're going to live with the big bats because it's going to be hard for them to sign Kyle Tucker because the Yankees didn't spend that money on Soto. They're signing Kyle Tucker.
It's not hard for them to sign Kyle Tucker. Like, as much position player prospects as they have, that's not going to preclude them from going after an available star bat. Now, I do not disagree with you about Michael King and Devin Williams. I'm not arguing about that. Are they going to go after Michael King, who's a free agent? Sure, why the hell not?
You think they're going to sign 3 big-ticket guys this offseason?
No, but I think they're going to be in on Kyle Tucker.
Okay, but we expect them to be in on
everybody,
free agent.
Right.
By the way, I expected them to be quote-unquote in, and either the Yankees or Cubs end up with Tucker anyway before this trade.
Right, but they are now more of a threat now that they freed up $27.5 million per year to Rafael Devers. And that is my little transition to my fellow Met fans, because it all comes back, and it's like one full circle. The Mets were right to not trade for Rafael Devers, not because they couldn't have matched the package that the Red Sox got of Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, and 2 prospects, but because, as a Met fan, were you willing to absorb 8 years, $220 from Rafael Devers and probably say goodbye to Pete Alonso, no chance to re-sign him, and be locked into another long-term contract to a guy who's likely a DH?
Right, who's not going to play first base for you because he lost his first baseman, Met.
Right.
So
he could play third base for you, though.
Yeah, he could. But how good of a third baseman is he actually going to be, especially 3 or 4 years from now? To me, this is really about Boston's long-term like locker room health, like clubhouse health. They had to get rid of Devers because it felt like, despite the way they've been, how well they played against the Yankees, it felt like there's turmoil going on inside that clubhouse. And so you get rid, I don't want to call him a cancer because I hate when people do that to athletes, but it's what it felt like. It felt like there was so much malcontent going on with him that you had to move on from him. And is it devastating to their long-term potential? Maybe, but I don't know.
I don't think it's devastating to them long-term. I think there's a few factors here. I think short-term it is devastating. They just took away a monster bat this season. Long-term, they've got the ability to re-spend that money on other players. Mm-hmm. But what really, really sucks about the Boston Red Sox, not that my heart breaks for them, is they now have taken two generational stars in Mookie Betts and Rafael Devers, and they not only traded them to the West Coast, they did not get good returns on either guy. And that would kill me if I'm a Red Sox fan. It's one thing to trade Mookie Betts, which is stupid. It's one thing to trade Rafael Devers. It's another thing for your returns to be what? Alex Verdugo and Kyle Harrison?
So maybe it's more about the financial health of the organization than it is about trying to create a championship team.
Well, I think they realized that the contract to Devers was not a great one. I think they had buyer's remorse the moment they gave it to him, and then he wouldn't switch positions.
But how does that explain the Mookie Betts trade?
The Mookie Betts is unexplainable. You know what?
But if it happens one time, it's okay. Someone made a stupid mistake. If it happens multiple times, doesn't it start to create a trend?
Well, but here's the difference. And I think the Mookie Betts decision is one of the dumbest decisions in sports. Like, Giant fans always go back to the decision to draft Saquon Barkley. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I would every night go back to the decision to trade Mookie Betts. So here's the difference. They didn't extend Mookie Betts. They traded him a year before free agency, and they got a garbage return. They extended Devers. It's like they decided, oh, we're going to do it right this time. Except it's Devers and not Betts. And then a couple of years in, they had buyer's remorse and traded his ass for a terrible return. So it's similar, but it's different. But this all goes back. And Yankee fans, this is what you should celebrate. The absolute boneheaded, ass-backwards decision to trade Mookie Betts. It's one of the dumbest things I've seen in sports in 15 years.
So it's funny, because
worse than Luka.
When I think about this, I don't think about it as boneheaded. I think about it as financially savvy. That's what they're trying to do.
With the Betts trade?
With the Betts trade, and now with the Devers trade.
But here's the difference in my mind. I think you sign Mookie Betts to what the Dodgers gave him. I don't think it's financially stupid. He is a great player, and he's exactly the guy you want leading your franchise into the next decade. Rafael Devers kind of showed us, you know what? He's a big bat. He's immature. He didn't put the team first, and he's a one-tool player. Like, Mookie Betts is different to me.
Yeah, but to me, this screams money more than it does strategy.
So you don't think they're going to reinvest the money?
I think they will because they went after Juan Soto. But then again, this doesn't make sense unless it's financially driven. And I don't know why it would be financially driven. I think Fenway Sports Group is well capitalized. I think they, even though they have their money spread in multiple different places at this point. But my first thought with this Devers trade was not they need to get rid of him because he's bad, even though that's a good argument. And I know that's what some of their owners are saying. But to me, it felt like a financial decision.
Well, I do think financial had a lot to do with it because I think they realized it was not a great contract moving forward. And that's why I support the Mets not being involved. Like, short term, if the Mets traded for Devers and they gave up a package similar to what San Francisco just gave up, would the Mets have a better chance to win the World Series in 2025? Of course. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes without saying. Right. Imagine putting that bat in the middle of this lineup. But I also looked at next year, the year after, and said, do you really want to be committed long-term already to Soto, long-term already to Lindor, a few more years of Brandon Nimmo, and now 8 more years of Rafael Devers, who's basically a DH? There is a cap to Steve Cohen's spending. As much as some fans don't want to admit that, there's going to be a cap.
Right.
And if there's going to be a cap, do I think it's wise to invest 8 years, 210 in Rafael Devers? The answer is no. But quickly, long-term prediction. June 16th, 3:38 p.m. Eastern time. I believe that the Boston Red Sox trading Rafael Devers is a sign that they will be aggressive and ultimately win on signing Kyle Tucker away from the Chicago Cubs. That is my long-term prediction.
So what are we predicting here?
Where Kyle Tucker ends up in 2026. I say he is a Boston Red Sox, and Yankee fans will rue the day that they celebrated Rafael Devers being traded. T. Tiki Barber, what team will Kyle Tucker play for in 2026?
Cubs.
Yeah. That's not the leader in the clubhouse. Why would he leave Chicago?
Exactly. They're good.
Yeah. He's probably right about that. All right, Sean Morad, since you hate my Red Sox thought, probably think I'm like some kind of evil, mean troll. Where will Kyle Tucker play baseball in 2026?
Unlike you, Evan, I have the ability to put my IBO glasses on. He will remain a Chicago Cub.
Yeah, you guys are probably going to get that right. Damn it.
You want Tommy's pick?
Yeah, fake Tommy. Where will Kyle Tucker play baseball in 2026?
Look, the Mets need more dudes. They need more dogs. They need more damage. He could play third base. Maybe he could play first base. It's about getting talent here. Why wouldn't you want this the place to be? He'll be a New York Met.
Yeah.